Welcome back to the Claire Mitt MBA Podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by Georgetown McDonough's MBA program.
I'm Jeanette Brown, Editor-in-Chief at Claire Mitt, and I am here with Graham Richmond, co-founder of Claire Mitt, and we are going to talk about how to approach the video or Skype interview. This is relevant for MBA applicants who are preparing for a video or Skype interview, but in fact, its relevancy stretches beyond that because, as some of you may know, more and more schools are implementing video essays as part of their MBA application process, among them INSEAD, Yale, Ross, Kellogg, Wharton, MIT Sloan. The list seems to grow each year. So knowing what you're doing in front of a camera, be it your iPhone or your laptop, is increasingly important. It's also important because more and more MBA recruiters are using the video interview as part of their recruiting process, either to pre-screen applicants before they get to campus, or because they don't have the resources to go to every campus. The long and short of it is that knowing how to interview via video or Skype is becoming a really important skill. We are gonna give you some tips that will make you expert at this, whether you're preparing for your upcoming video interview for the MBA application process, for your applications themselves, or you want to just practice in advance of your MBA recruiting process. So again, I'm here with Graham Richmond, and I am reminded of a call I got just yesterday from my panicked 82-year-old stepmother, who was supposed to be taking part in a conference via Skype and couldn't remember her Skype password. And somehow I was supposed to help her with that. And it's silly and maybe not a problem most of us would encounter, but knowing your tech and being prepared technologically for this video interview is actually kind of important. Can you speak to that a little bit, Graham?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks so much for having me. I think that, the trouble with Skype interviewing or video interviewing in general is that in addition to kind of being ready to answer any questions that you would face in any kind of MBA admissions interview or job interview, as you clearly point out, you've got this whole technology issue. And I think this happens all the time. You know, you get on Skype even with a friend, like you forget to plug in your mic, or you have a problem with your internet connection, or, you know, you're in the wrong room of the house where the internet's weaker because you're on Wi-Fi, or, you know, so all of these things have to be sorted out before you do an interview with a school. You've got to get it right. So checking that, you know, internet connection's good, making sure that your computer's plugged in, you know, I mean, God forbid, like your battery gets low and you know, Skype and these other video application programs can drain battery. So being plugged in is important. And yeah, just making sure that like Skype is on and you're already logged in, and maybe you've done a test call with someone to make sure that they can hear you. So all these little things can really be important. Even, you know, stuff like your microphone, obviously, you know, there's a big debate about, do you go with kind of a headset or kind of, you know, a kind of external microphone versus just using the onboard mic? I think, you know, ideally you don't want to be kind of walking around with the giant headset as you're doing your interview. I mean, it looks, you know, more like a regular interview if you're just using the onboard mic of your computer. But, you know, I think testing this is important because you want to make sure that there's good audio. And in some people's cases, their onboard mic might be really awful and not pick up the sound well. And so it could make sense to have something external. But you don't, you know, you don't want to be, you don't want technology to distract. You want the interview to be seamless enough from a tech standpoint that it really just feels like an interview.
And there are some dangers in today's technologically savvy world of seeming incompetent right? I mean, this is sort of the stakes are higher for testing this out. I'm not so worried about my 82-year-old stepmother who maybe didn't impress her 83-year-old conference right. attendee. But when you're applying to business school, you're trying to say, I am a person of the world who is going to go out and lead organizations. Like you need to start out by showing that you are in command of the technology in your office or home.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think your 82-year-old stepmother gets a free pass because, you know, Skype, let alone, you know, computer. I mean, all these things didn't really exist when she was younger, right? So yeah. So I think as an MBA applicant, you want to be able to show that you're savvy enough to kind of work Skype and get on the internet and do a video interview.
But all of that is to say, there is no shame in trying it out first and getting the kinks out before you're in front of the admissions committee.
Right. I mean, just as we always recommend you would do a mock interview with friends before a traditional interview, I think, you know, getting someone to log in to Skype with you, even if it's mom or dad or a significant other, whoever it is, just to test out whether everything sounds good, how it looks and, you know, what's the backdrop, et cetera, which maybe we'll get into a little bit.
Yeah, actually, that brings me to my next point. So, what about setting the stage? Here again, I'll draw from a personal experience. I had a call recently with someone I was interviewing, and she was really insistent that we do a video interview. And yet she had a three-year-old at home, and so she locked the three-year-old out with a video playing, and we were in her bathroom. And I'm the first to admit that I couldn't even imagine what my bathroom looks like, but her bathroom was really distracting to me. And so... Yeah. I just think about what's behind you, right? Is there an ideal behind you? Would you stage the scene or do you not do it in your bathroom? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I know that in this era, you know, anybody can make a podcast or a video as we're doing this right now, right? But I think that, I've never been impressed by, you know, the people who put up videos on the web where there's a cat that runs by as they're giving a lecture about something or the kids are screaming or so. I think there's a certain level of like professionalism that you want to try to really bake in to your video interview experience. And that includes backdrop. I would say, you know, it goes without saying you don't want to be in your bathroom for a Skype interview with a business school. You probably want to be, at a desk or, you know, in an office or if you're at home, a home office or whatever. But I think you don't want the background to be a distraction. You know, I mean, I've been through this process myself doing interviews, Skype interviews. And, you know, I typically would literally kind of rearrange things in the room that I was in, pull stuff off the walls that, you know, that I thought might be distracting and just making sure that the background was basically a white background and, you know, just allowed the interviewer to focus on me and not on what was happening in the background. And yes, there were no kids shut behind doors or anything like that or pets or, you know, just you don't want to have anything that could distract. Now I would say I would not stage in the sense that you don't want there to be like a bookshelf with every great business book on, you know, on it. Like that stuff's just going to be obvious to the interviewer that you're trying to sort of, you know, set sort of a fake scene. But I think you just don't want there to be distraction.
This is beyond my professional expertise, but do you recommend certain camera angles?
I will say, typically, yeah, just making sure that you're kind of, that you're sort of passport photo type, you know, that you're getting your head and shoulders, you know, you don't want to be standing so far back that they can see like your entire body or something, you know. So I think, but one thing to, you know, absolutely look into is like, you can do this in Skype. Like, what are you going to look like when the camera goes on? You can test in the under the settings. There's kind of a video test feature where you can see exactly what they're going to get. There are some newer laptops that have put the webcam in sort of odd places. Lower down or as opposed to kind of the typical position. So I think making sure that you're aware of what the image is going to be is important. And yeah, you don't want like a weird angle where they're kind of looking up your nose or, you know, or down from above or something. So yeah, making sure that looks good is important.
And what do you wear to a video interview? I can understand how maybe the temptation is to be a little more casual. You're in your home setting. Thoughts on that?
You know, I know that's the temptation. I think obviously if you're doing a work call or whatever, people kind of expect that. There's the old joke about, you know, you're wearing kind of pajamas from the waist down or something, and you're looking a bit more dressed up from the waist up. But I think you do, for an MBA admissions interview, want to dress the part, even though you're at home. Like, I don't think it's an excuse to wear a t-shirt and jeans, or even just a button down with no, you know, something overly casual. Like, I think you want to dress the same way you would as if you were going to the in-person interview, which means, you know, put a suit on, wear a tie if you're a guy, and, you know, same thing, suit for women, and make sure your hair's, you know, not flying all over the place. And yeah, so really go for the same approach as if you were sitting down with this person in person.
You already know you're capable of greatness, but wondering just how much you can achieve isn't enough. To truly have an impact on the world, you have to go find out exactly what you're made of. It's what sets the doers apart from the merely curious. With a curriculum designed to prepare you for the global stage, plus access to all Washington, D.C. has to offer, Georgetown's McDonough School of Business is the perfect launchpad for your career. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MBA.
What if the unthinkable happens and your cat escapes the place that you put it, or your child runs through the background? What do you recommend? How do you keep your cool? Presumably this has happened before.
Yeah, that you just reminded me of, there was a classic scene that went around virally on the internet about a year ago of there was a BBC kind of piece on global, you know, kind of global politics, and they had some renowned strategist from America on, and his kids kind of bust into the room while he was giving this kind of very eloquent talk about North Korea or something. And you know, he didn't know what to do, and it made for a great viral interview, but you don't want your MBA interview to go viral. Not that it would, because the schools keep this stuff private, but you don't want it to be circulating around the admissions office as, oh my God, you guys won't believe what this was. And by the way, admissions officers do that kind of stuff in the sense that, you know, when I worked in admissions at Wharton, we often would kind of share, you know, essays that made us laugh for good or bad reasons. So you don't want to be remembered for this. I think you just want to try to handle it in a professional way and, you know, apologize and take care of the problem, you know, as quickly as you can. But I think, you know, you obviously want to get back to the discussion as quickly as possible and not be too rattled by it. Obviously, as you said, these things happen. The schools know that. I think you should take all steps to avoid them from happening, but they can happen. And so I think you just want to kind of tackle it as, you know, it's unfortunate, but you move on and get right back into the discussion so that they quickly forget about the mishap.
But again, best case scenario,
don't have
guard against the mishap in the first place.
Right.
You talked a little bit about practicing with a parent or a significant other or something. Do you think it's worth going through the entire interview? Is that overkill? What are the benefits of practice? What do you want to achieve from practice?
Well, I think there are two things at play here. One would be you practice the connectivity, like you want to log in and have a relative or somebody, a friend, call you so that you can just make sure that the connection's good, the image is good, sound, et cetera, camera angle, setting, you know, how does everything look? But that's quite different from practicing for the interview itself in terms of the questions you might get. And I would say this, when you get into that domain, it's really similar to an in-person interview where you would want to be practicing, but you don't necessarily have to be doing it on camera in front of Skype or something. You could be practicing in a cafe with a friend. You just want to make sure you're ready to answer the questions you might get in an interview. The only thing I will say is not everyone has a kind of person in their life who's willing to kind of sit down and listen to the or you know, pepper them with questions, et cetera. And so one of the nicer features is that most of these programs will have is the ability for you to record yourself. And so there are, you know, a lot of applications allow you to record yourself. And so you could, you know, literally record yourself answering a set of questions that you've prepared that you know the school is likely to ask. And then watch it and see how does it look to you.
Be your own critic.
Yeah, be your own critic. Or, you know, maybe even just send it to a friend and ask them to watch it if they didn't have time to be the one interviewing you. But I think, yeah, so video can work both ways. I mean, obviously, it can be daunting in the sense that you're trying to get ready for a positive, tech-wise experience with the real interviewer. But it can be quite helpful to you as a tool to assess yourself and see what you look like when you're interviewing. As long as you're not too crazy about it, because I think we all are a little harsh on ourselves when we watch ourselves on video or listen. Yeah. So I'm sure like when you and I listen to this podcast, we'll probably think that we're not great, but our audience is going to think it's fantastic.
Of course.
But in any event, no, I really do think that it's good to test. And I think that we have the technology now. So it's great to be able to watch yourself and prepare in that way.
What about, so a Skype or a video interview affords you the chance to have a cheat sheet, which you might not have in an in-person interview. What are the pros and cons? How do you effectively use a cheat sheet, or should you just not go that route at all?
I'm not a big fan. I mean, I think that yes, you could have a few key points written, in giant print or something and have them behind the webcam so that you can kind of remind yourself of key points. I do often recommend that candidates, when they go into an interview, they think about like, what are my, if there are five things I want to get across in this interview, what are they or something? But ideally, you're prepared to the extent that you just don't need it. Because I, for one, you can tell like when you're on a Skype call with someone and they're actually just looking at their phone, which they've sort of positioned off to the side of their computer because they're trying to check email or they're chatting with someone else. Or so I just feel like you want to really be focused. And actually, that's an important point is, as tempting as it is to look at the image of the person that's interviewing you, who you're on the video
that
with,
is a good point.
I think you ideally want to try to make some eye contact with the webcam. Even though, often that means your eyes are looking at the webcam and you can't quite get the great view of the person that's interviewing you, because for them to feel like you're making eye contact, you don't want to look at their eyes on your screen. You want to look at the webcam, right? So in any event, that's a sidebar thing. But I do think that I'm not really in favor of props or cheat sheets because people invariably screw it up. They just, you can tell that they're looking at something, or if they've easy tacked it to the wall behind their computer, it falls off during the interview, or, there's just all kinds of things that could go wrong.
And you really want to be rehearsed enough for that to be second nature.
Right. And that's actually a great point, because if you're reading from something, you're not ready to deliver it. Actually the former director of admissions at Wharton once said to me, there's kind of three ways to go into an interview. He said, you can go in cold, which he said the benefit of going in cold is you're probably not too nervous because you didn't bother to prepare, and you're guaranteed to kind of be yourself, because it's not scripted. He said, you can go in absolutely prepared to the hilt. You've thought of every possible question we could ask, you've prepared it, you've practiced, and you're able to deliver answers in a way that is completely fluid and natural, and your personality can, again, shine through. He said, unfortunately, most MBA applicants come through another way, which is in between those two. They do some preparation. They write notes. They try to figure out, what they might be asked, but they don't go all the way through in terms of actually testing out their responses and getting to a point where they're really fluid. So what results is this kind of robotic kind of experience where they're interviewed, they know the questions kind of, but they're sort of clearly feeling for, exactly how to best express the answer. And so he's like, that's the worst case scenario, because you're, unlike going in cold, you're not going to be at all relaxed or yourself. You're going to be robotic, and you're not going to be fluid enough to be kind of professional about it. So it just, you don't want to go in. It's like sort of no man's land. So ideally you're ready and you don't need cheat sheets or things to remind you of what you're supposed to say. Ideally, it's kind of second nature and you can really relax and be yourself because you just know the stuff cold.
You made a really excellent point that I hadn't thought about, which is that making eye contact in a video or Skype interview does not mean looking at the image of the person on the screen looking at you. That rattled me a little bit because I can see myself kind of messing that up. And I would hope that people, that that's a common mistake in video interviews and video interviewers are used to it. But perhaps even turning that off for your practice one so that you train yourself to look at the camera on the computer.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree. This is a challenge, and I think it's something that people are kind of used to now. I mean, even when you're FaceTiming on an iPhone or you're Skyping, like it's people's, their instinct is to look at the screen because they want to see you. But then, there's this sort of slight disconnect. And I think eventually we'll probably live in a world where the webcam is like literally behind the screen itself and in some kind of one way, mirror sort of thing. But it's, for now, in some cases, and it depends on the computer and stuff, some of them are better located than others. But yeah, I think trying to make eye contact will play well with your interviewer.
And that leads me to my I think, last question, which is, obviously, you're not having the opportunity to sit down across from your interviewer, which affords all sorts of advantages in terms of reading body language and expressions, et cetera. What is, in your opinion, the best way to kind of generate rapport when you are technologically disadvantaged? You do have this technology standing between you and the interviewer.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's why personally, if someone gives me the option, I always would choose in person. I mean, I think, there are cases where you just can't do it and where you can't get a flight halfway across the world to interview at a school or something. But I think if it's within your power to get somewhere and do an in-person interview and that's on offer, I would always go that route for the reasons you said. Yeah, body language and just shaking someone's hand or, just kind of some of the casual banter that might happen at either end of an interview or as they walk you out or, just it's a little different. It's a little more awkward when it's tech, when there's this technology between you. As to how you build rapport when you're on a video interview, I think it all comes down to content, because short of like making sure you're looking at the webcam and trying to engage with the interviewer and you don't have distractions in the background or something, your only weapon is the words you say. And I think, you can smile and do what you would ordinarily do in an in-person interview, but I do think that there's a little bit of distance, that's there. And, often just even the image isn't quite as crisp as our eyes are, in person, although that is getting better. I think that it's really about what you say. I do think that, avoiding some of the traps that we discussed, like, looking at notes instead of at your interviewer or having a kind of distracting background or weird camera angle or tech problems can really help solve some of this stuff so that you can focus on giving good answers and smiling into the camera kind of thing. There is a challenge there. I think it's still, when you're not in the same room, there's a little bit of a gap.
Any kind of post-interview protocol that could help bridge that gap? I mean, understanding the distance is greater and time takes longer, would it make more sense to send a written thank you to, I don't really see that being the case, but is there any way to kind of make what has been an entirely virtual experience less so in your follow-up?
That's a really good point. I think, one of the things, just going back to the earlier question, people often do talk when you're in different places, it does create the opportunity to talk about location a little bit. So someone might say, oh, how's the weather in Paris? If you're interviewing from Paris and the school's in New York, there can be some of that happens. And the reason I mention that now is because when then you go to write the thank you, you can say, oh, it's, it finally stopped snowing here in Maine today. And, so you can kind of make that connection. But I think in general, it's just going to be a standard emailed thank you. I don't think you would go for handwritten, even though I get where you're going with that as kind of a nice, very analog way to kind of say thank you in a very digital process. But the problem becomes more one of just timing. And schools often are making decisions at light speed post-interview. And so you want to get your thank you in within, 24 hours or so. And that makes snail mail a little bit harder. But I think, working in something maybe about, if there was a discussion about your location or something, about what's happening in your city or a holiday that was recently celebrated or any little tidbit that you can kind of grab onto and work into your thank you, that's totally appropriate. Or if you can remember something that your interviewer said, like, oh, you know, it's maybe you're interviewing with Wharton and they just had a bunch of snow. Like you can say, hope, you know, hope you all are okay digging out of the snow. And it was great, you know, having the interview, really appreciate your time.
A means and then, of making that more personal connection despite the distance.
Exactly. So, but yeah, otherwise, I mean, you would want the interview thank you to cover most of the same ground as always, you know, in terms of thanking them for their time, getting into the sort of what was discussed and what, you know, what you were happy to share with them, and then maybe something you were happy to learn during the interview about, you know, about the school, et cetera. So the usual stuff that we talk about, we have an admissions tip on the queeradmit.com website about this very, very matter. So, you know, there's lots of good advice there about how to write a thank you.
So reviewing very quickly in terms of a video interview, be it for an MBA admissions interview, part of the application itself, or for a job interview, you want to make sure that your technology is squared away to the point of rehearsing, practicing it with someone else to make sure that there are no kinks or that you've worked them out in advance. Mm-hmm. You want to stage your scene, not overly so, but you want to make sure that there's nothing that's going to distract from the conversation that you're about to have with the person that you're about to be interviewed by.
Right.
You want to dress the part to the ankles.
Right.
You don't want
to... Because you never know if the cat runs in or something does go wrong and you have to stand up and they get a full view.
Right.
You
know, it's just not worth taking that risk.
Yeah.
And you do want to practice some, not to the point that it feels overly rehearsed, but that it feels comfortable and that you know what you're talking about. And you maybe want to avoid props. You want to know the material cold and not need props.
Right. And actually, more than one candidate has come to me, and I, you know, not to stereotype, but I think often it's international candidates for whom English is a second language who say, oh, this is great. It's a video interview. I'm going to script the whole thing out, and I'll have, like, on the wall behind me, literally answers that I can just read to the committee. And I can tell you that they can spot that every time, and it always backfires, and it's a really bad idea because you will have no personality as you read from your script.
So. Yeah, and to the point that we were talking about trying to create rapport, which is already a challenge given the technology that's between you,
right.
Making that more of a challenge by having a script is to be avoided. Try to be as natural as possible by just knowing it and trusting yourself and trusting your story and telling it to the camera and practice, dress the part.
Yeah.
Sort out your technology before it starts.
Yeah, all the more reason, I think, because this is such a kind of an impersonal process when it becomes video and there's all this, you know, this tech between you and the interviewer, all the more reason to not be overly scripted and to be, you know, to be ready to give good answers. But you don't want to be reading from something because it's just going to make it even more kind of impersonal and robotic than, you know, than it needs to be.
All excellent points. I think we've covered most everything. Are there things...
I think that's it. I think I feel like people should have a good toolkit as they head into a video interview for the MBA admissions process, or as you correctly point out, for careers or anything that they're doing that involves, you know, an interview over the web. So yeah, I think we've covered it.
Great. Good luck to anyone with a video interview in their near future. Thanks a lot, Graham.
Thanks, Jeanette.